So to get things started, Jack uses liquid feeling magic to arouse all of Ava's body.
Sorry, and, can you say that one more time? Yeah,
I said liquid feeling magic. It feels like liquid, but...
So it's invisible lubricant?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Welcome to Say Smut, a literary podcast for readers and non-readers.
Thanks so much for popping by today. That is Sarah, and she loves books, I think. Do you still love books?
I think so.
Oh, okay, cool. Just checking.
I think I'm starting to like books.
Just checking.
That's Hope. She likes talking to me about books. And each episode, I break down the plots of some pretty wild books to Hope, who has not read them, but psych,
joke's on you.
Joke's on everyone listening right now, because every once in a blue moon we allow Hope to have access to literature, and she actually consumes it, and then she gets to be the one in charge.
Sometimes I dare to use my literacy to read a book for this podcast, and today I have a book that is specifically smutty and spooky for all of us.
Nice.
Yes, nice. Yes. But before we get to that, let's talk about business.
Yeah, no, I want to go through some quick announcements, which is that, as I mentioned last week, I have been doing you all a service by reading holiday books in October, mm-hmm. so that I'll have Rex out. Hope, I want you to know I read the most heart-wrenching holiday book. It's happily ever after, so it's good in the end. I sent you a photo of myself.
Yes, you did. You were distraught.
No, I was sobbing. I cried 3 times during the book. I'm not a book crier. I don't, like, I might get a little, ooh, that's emotional. Or, like, I might get, like, a little dusty eye, you know, mm-hmm, misty mm-hmm. eye. But no, this was a full-fledged, I'm fucked in the ass, like, crying.
Yeah. And not in the fun way, like,
and
in
not
books,
in the fun in way, like, oh, this is too much. No. So I highly recommend The Christmas You Found Me. It's a brand new release by Saren Morgenthaler. Read the author's note. It'll explain why it's so freaking emotional. She has dealt with a lot of pain herself in the last couple of years, and you can tell. Oh, my gosh. And then, like, oh, anyway, check trigger warnings. It's not the most perfect book in the world, but I just highly recommend. And then I am currently reading The Most Wonderful Crime of the Year by, ooh, I don't have the name in front of me. Last name is Carter. And it is not smutty. I have been told that they only kiss on page, which, by the way, the last recommendation is closed door romance, which means they definitely have, there's a lot of sexual tension for sure, but sure. They definitely have sex. It just doesn't happen on the page.
Yeah. Fade to black
for sure. So, but Most Wonderful Crime of the Year, I've got a whole roster of holiday romances. I'm kind of already in the throes of it.
Mm.
Yeah. So I also did Make the Season Bright by Ashley Herring Blake. And that was pretty good. I don't know. Ashley Herring, like, I just, like, nothing knocks me out of the park with her. I want to be wooed so heavily. Her spice is very good. This one wasn't as spicy as some of her other ones, but I'm just letting you all know I'm doing the work for you, and we will be coming soon mm-hmm. with those books. In the meantime,
yes,
you should pop us a rating or review. I mean, like, maybe wait until the episode is over, you know? Yeah. Like, I know you want to, like, see the goods before you actually, like, decide.
And you're about to see
You're
some
about
goods.
To see a lot of goods. Or yeah. hear a lot of goods, mm-hmm. not see it with
your ears.
Yeah.
The goods.
And the other thing is, follow us on TikTok or Instagram. We love getting messages. Yes. We love getting reposted by you. Hope and I almost lost our ever loving shit because somebody said that we were their favorite podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Cheers.
If you're listening still, thank you so much.
Cheers.
So kind. That's
yeah.
So kind,
and we do check comments. We do check mm-hmm. like comments on YouTube and stuff, because we've gotten some very sweet messages on YouTube and through the email. So, we love affirmations.
Yeah. We love words of affirmation.
No, it is my love language. So, I am tell me I'm pretty type of girl. I'll never get enough. What's your love language, Hope?
What's my love language? That's a great question. I don't, It's not that I don't abide by them. I feel like I just incorporate a lot of them at once. Yeah, so like I enjoy words of affirmation. And I enjoy, you know, acts of service. I enjoy a physical touch, like a big old snuggle or a hug now and again. A variety, but I don't think like one defines my personality.
Yeah. I used to be like, yeah, words of affirmation is my love language. And now I'm like, no, you know, I dabble in all of them.
As it turns out, I just like it when people are nice to me and not mean.
Yeah, I just really like, which we have an ongoing joke that the women I've been interested in are all mean to me.
Well, some people like that and that's fine.
But this isn't in a good way. We all know it. This is Therapy with Sarah. I'm on my period. Yeah. I'm just getting over my period this week.
Welcome to our second podcast, Therapy with Sarah.
But at the same time, I also should disclose that because I've been on my period the last week, that was probably a reason I did cry three times plus one more time during the author's note of that Christmas book I just recommended.
Yeah, add that as a disclaimer to all of your reviews.
Yeah. Where was I in my cycle when I read this book? But we have a book today from you. If you wrote the book, I'm not sure.
Could you imagine?
It would be so exciting for me, myself, and I, because we say all the time that you write these books.
That's true. I threaten it all the time, but no, I did not write this. Hey, Hope's dog, I think, tried to eat chicken that she made for dinner off the counter and then was put in jail for that, but is now barking incessantly in the room that's right on top of this one for her crimes. And for this reason, you may hear her barking.
Barking, yeah.
Okay. You might hear it. I will reveal that the person who did write this book is not unfamiliar to our podcast. So if you were with us this whole time, or like, I don't know, for a little bit last year, and maybe you left and came back, I don't know what you do. You may remember that we just had an absolute blasty blast over Halloween covering such books as Seduced by the Pumpkin Spice Latte and Jack and Le Petit Mort and Given to the Ghoul. And I had so much fun when we did that. So I was like, I wonder what would happen if I followed up. So
if you followed up,
did you do
a sequel?
So I'm going to ask you all lovingly to sit the fuck down, because today I will be sharing the thrills and chills of Jack 2 by Leila Fay.
Is this where I tell you that she's in a little bit of hot water right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Well, we want transparency in this podcast.
We could be transparent. Go for it.
If you don't know Leila Fay, I did love Jack. I love Jack. And this is not like, we were going to have Liz back on the podcast for a mini ep to talk about this issue, which is the use of AI to promote books.
Ah, interesting.
And the whole idea is that if you are using AI to promote your books, to make AI art, right? You might say, well, I got to do it because like it's cheap and I can use it to promote my books. The problem is first of all, AI art does look significantly creepy.
True.
And it also is like, if you have the funds, you really should. There are so many wonderful artists who could be making that art for you. So she has been promoting a bunch of her work lately, and it's all been a ton of AI art, and people have kind of called her out for it. And so that's the only hot water that I'm talking about, but it's just been kind of a hot topic lately of like, if like, I get that it's economically savvy to use AI, but like, I understand too that there are wonderful artists out there that are willing to work, and like, you know, we should pay them for their work, and AI shouldn't take over the world. Anyway, so that's that. I just want to address that because I was going to do a follow-up on that, actually.
Well, great.
But we're going to sidestep
I'm thrilled that. To tell you that based on the cover of this one, I'm willing to bet there was not much AI involved.
Oh, really?
Or there was very early AI involved.
Oh, God. Okay.
You'll see it when you see it. Anyway.
I will.
So I read this as part of a whole greater collection called Jack 2 and Other Stories, a Halloween monster erotica book set. So the ratings are a little weird because it's not just Jack 2. It's actually the first one and several other stories and the second one all wrapped up into one book. But it did get a 3.89 on Goodreads.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yes, and we are familiar with Leila Fay. You may recall that she writes monster romance books. She likes things that are fluffy or dark, and she has all kinds of trigger warnings. The trigger warnings for this book include sort of kidnapping, but sort of not. Very detailed sex scenes. These are super open door. The last book was also super open door. So you won't be surprised. There will be rough intercourse. There will be anal. There will be very, very, very brief choking, some dob, some interactions, and some flavorful monster jizz, which if you were with us the first time, I don't think will survive. Will surprise you.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Yes.
I have to imagine, because I believe Jack 2 is his son.
Yes. We're going to get into it. And honestly, we're going to get into it earlier than the book wants, because it's not made immediately clear. And that's kind of confusing.
Well, are you going to recap the first book a little bit? Just
I am. Before we begin, I have a recap.
Wonderful.
Obviously, I highly recommend you listen to episode 12 of our podcast, where we covered the first book in this series. But as a quick refresher, Jack 1 includes Susie, who is a horny loner witch who is looking for love. Jack, an orange buff man-bodied pumpkin-headed demon that Susie summoned herself and then was surprised to see. Like, she couldn't believe her own magic worked, even though she's definitely a witch. Susie and Jack have a very big sexy time. Susie accidentally partially summoned Jack 2 years prior. So for the past 2 years, he's been able to watch her and like be around spiritually, but not physically. So he's already just all about Susie. During their big sexy time, or their BST, we learned that Jack has a ridged vibrating peen, that it has a big old cone tip, but with a flat top, and that he also has a crazy big tongue. And of course, pumpkin spice latte flavored cum.
Mm-hmm.
Jack also makes a special anal lube just for Susie that is flecked with gold and I think also scented. Susie wants Jack to stay forever, so in order to do that, Jack has to breed her, and it works in our epilogue. Well, before the epilogue, I think they're like, if I'm gonna breed you right now, and if I'm here in the morning, then it worked, and if I'm not here in the morning, you can just summon me again and I'll come right back. But he's there in the morning, so it works. In our epilogue, Susie milks Jack for his pumpkin spice latte juice and sells it as organic pumpkin spice latte. Sarah, is there anything you could think of that I forgot?
Wait, did you mention the four balls?
Oh, he has four balls. I'm so sorry if I didn't mention them.
And that he could pick and choose. I think this was the one where he could pick and choose when he inseminated her and when he didn't.
Correct. A fun fact is that I accidentally read the first one, not realizing that the first one, that the book I had wasn't just the second one. So I'm very fresh. Oh, yes.
So what are your thoughts?
This has never happened before. I read a book that we covered. It's the first time I've ever done it. It was delightful. It was very helpful for preparing me for this next one.
Okay, well.
But you are correct. Jack can control whether he has like potent sperm come out or just pumpkin fun with no seeds.
Yeah, it's, you know, if we had that kind of healthcare in America, okay, I'm going to actually stop right there because this is a political podcast. I'm going to stop
but I want to know how it pertains to pumpkin insemination.
We are 2 weeks away from an election. If you live in the United States, please go vote, go register to vote, go do sign it. Up. Yes. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, so that's where we left off in the first Jack. Susie and Jack live, laugh, loving together, selling organic pumpkin spice lattes. But what happened after that? Well, I'll tell you. We open on a Halloween night.
Of course.
We're in a nightclub.
They don't do anything else during the rest of the year is what I assume. Other than sell their organic jizz.
Jacks are the most powerful during Halloween. I believe it is established. Mm-hmm. So it kind of has to be Halloween.
Okay, fine.
But it's not just any Halloween, because we are at a nightclub and Ava, who is our main character, is meeting her already drunk friend Monica for the pumpkin night. Whatever that's supposed to be.
That's the worst themed night at a bar I've ever heard.
It's called the pumpkin night. Quote, Monica, who is her friend, proudly displayed a tall glass filled with a thick orange drink. It probably had a stupid name like Cosmo Pumpkin or Jacko Whiskey.
Do we think it had the organic flavoring that her mom milks her dad for?
I guess
I'm assuming Ava. No, it's not Ava. That's the Jack. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying.
I feel like it should be in the well, I guess Cosmo Pump Catan, which is, that's a real mouthful.
No.
That would like indicate having pumpkin, but Jacko Whiskey's got the name in it and it feels like for branding purposes, like you would have to.
Yeah. 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 I get it. I just think it would be a whole, you know, full circle moment.
Whole full circle moment, but we are not just here for Halloween drinks. We are here so that Ava can get her mojo back, and we don't have a lot of details, but Ava lets us know that it's been a year, quote, since something happened to her on Halloween, and that Halloween is her absolute favorite season, and she is determined not to let Jack, whoever that is, because we don't know yet, ruin it. Sarah, pretend we're at the pumpkin.
I'm so sorry. No.
Pretend we are at the pumpkin night. What are you wearing to the pumpkin
wait,
night?
Wait, are we talking like me now or me when I actually drank alcohol and like went like to bars?
Whichever outfit you want to reveal. I have one as well.
I have been walking down memory lane this week with some of my college students because college has changed a lot since I was there 10 years ago.
So true.
And I want to go back to circa 2014. We're going to go out. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have some ankle booties, black booties, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to have probably some tight skinny jeans.
Yep.
Or some like black, like dressy leggings.
Okay.
Maybe they have a patch of faux leather or whatever, right?
Faux leather legging.
I'm going to wear.
So does Ruthie.
And I'm going to wear probably, a going out shirt, because we all know what I'm talking about when I say going out shirt.
Yeah, you purchased it sheer. You purchased it at Express and it was button up but flowy.
Well, yes, absolutely.
And I know because I worked there and I sold them.
Or I'm gonna wear like a super tight like a bodysuit that is going to be a pain in my ass and it's going to make me not want to go to the bathroom, right? Because I'm not going to want to have to snap it back up.
Absolutely. Set yourself up for success all night long.
And probably a leather jacket.
Nice.
Or like a jacket of some, like a bomber jacket, something like a jacket of some sort that I'm probably not going to wear all night because it's going to be so hot in the bars.
Infinity scarf. No infinity scarf. Sometimes sometimes you don't.
We're past the infinity scarf era by about 2 years, probably.
It's because I'm...
You're a little older than me.
I'm a little older than you, but I was still in college.
Well, yeah.
For a little bit. Anyway, it's not important. I like
you know what I'm talking about. Like, I wasn't a big scarf person. I'm not big on the like things around my neck, but other than hands. But other than the hand scarf, I just think that I will also have like winged liner that's going to look really bad. a bold lip. And my hair is going to be such tight curls because I didn't brush them out at that time in my life.
Outstanding.
Okay, what are you wearing?
I'm going for a full Halloween costume. And my Halloween style is 95% goofy and like maybe 5% hot and just all handcrafted. So there are a couple of things that I've wanted to be for Halloween that I just haven't, like Rod from the movie Hot Rod, or perhaps a SpongeBob character of some kind, or maybe just generally dressing up as emo. And so one of those three is something I'm going with. I guess I'm not really sure for this specific the pumpkin night. It would depend on the weather because I'd want to be warm.
Wait, is this a dress-up thing?
This does have some costumes, but it's not explicitly said.
I just want you to know every outfit I did in college was like hot, like sexy Tinkerbell.
Hot in the house. I've been before.
Yes. Okay. Anyway.
So you are in very classic going out, maybe in some Halloween colors. Who could say? It's the pumpkin night. And I may be wearing like a work, like, how do I explain this? I want to go for Hot Rod. So probably a mustache, a cape, and like a mechanic suit.
I would love to see us out like this.
And we're at the pumpkin night. And we turn and we see Ava. And what is she doing? She went full sexy. So she is wearing a short white dress with long lacy sleeves. And her long black hair is down and it's loose. And she's explained that she's got sort of skeletal black and white face makeup. Because, quote, she was dressed as Lorona. Sarah, please hit me with that research.
I'm so glad you bring this up. So, Lorona, right? That's how we say it.
That is how I typed it out phonetically in hopes that it would help me not mispronounce it. So,
okay, because I went through such a like rabbit hole of things that were saying it obviously in different ways and like incorrectly. Mm-hmm. Rona is how I'm going to say it because that's how you said it. And I pray that this is correct.
I okay. listened to a pronunciation and we're all just trying our best. So if I'm wrong, we're all sorry.
We are very sorry.
But okay. especially me.
So I will also say that this, I tried to make this very brief because this is a folklore that is extremely extensive depending on where you're from and, you know, how the story has been told or why the story is told. So first of all, thank you to my sources, Wikipedia, because of course, and Stephen Winnick at the Library of Congress and Britannica and a bunch of very, very small other websites that just affirmed what those three websites told me. Okay.
Yes.
So La Llorona is a story from Latin America Spanish folklore. Specifically, it's predominantly based in Southwest United States. She's also known as the Crying Woman, the Weeping Woman, and the Wailer. So the earliest documentation of La Llorona is from 1550 Mexico City, but some people believe that her mythology goes back to the Aztec mythology.
Ooh.
And I could sit here and tell you over and over like how many ways that she could be linked to different things. I'll get into that in a second. But the mythology, this Aztec mythology talks about a hungry woman, which features a wailing woman constantly crying for food, which is like a little bit similar to La Llorona's story.
It's honestly a lot similar to me personally.
To Ruthie 24/7.
Very similar to my dog.
your dog all the time.
So similar.
And she's also been compared to like a Aztec goddess of motherhood. She's also been conflated with La Malinche, who was an enslaved indigenous woman in the 1500s who is known for being the translator and assisting the Spanish in their conquering of the Aztec Empire. So like, it's one of those situations where, from what I was reading, it sounds like that woman was maybe misconstrued throughout history because she was, some people felt like she was villainous because she helped the Spanish, but maybe she was also a slave to the Spanish and was there. So it feels a little almost like a Pocahontas situation where sure. It was like, ooh, okay, but she wasn't there voluntarily. It doesn't seem like. Anyway, so some people think that like the story is linked to her in the 1500s. We could also compare her to like Greek mythology or Eve and Lilith from Hebrew mythology. Like literally the story could like branch out and be just different variations of the same thing. Okay, so the legend kind of varies based on who is telling the story and where that story is coming from. And the most general version of the story is that there was this beautiful woman named Maria who married a rich ranchero or conquistador, and she bears two children with him. Sometimes it's said that it's three. It's also misconstrued whether they're all boys, whether they're all girls. So that's up in the air. One day,
gender is a construct.
Gender is also a construct that it doesn't really fucking matter. Okay. So, well, it does matter. You know what I'm saying? In the story, this story, it's not going to play a role. Okay. me trying really hard not to get canceled and for people to understand that this is an opening and welcoming environment. Okay. Okay. Ooh. Okay. So one day she sees her husband with another woman and goes into a fit of blind rage. And so she drowns her children in a river. So yeah, I probably should have trigger warned that. And I'm going to let you know right now, it's not going to get much better.
Okay.
So she immediately regrets it and drowns herself as well.
Mm.
However, she isn't able to move on to the afterlife and she's forced to be in purgatory, roaming the earth until she finds her children. Okay. Now there's another version of the story that says that her children were illegitimate and she drowns them so her father cannot take them away to be raised by his new wife.
Fascinating.
And another version claims that her husband favored the children more than her, so she killed them out of kind of rage and then like comes to and obviously is upset about her decision. She is always portrayed as a woman who is dressed in white, who is drenched, you know, all wet, producing like this nocturnal wailing, and is always associated with bodies of water or some form of water. Okay. So her story is often told to help keep children away from bodies of water because there are so many rivers and stuff, especially in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's also this kind of storyline I was reading that she haunts foster homes or institutions for children looking for her children, but she always comes like 3 days after it rains. So like, that's the water element there. And then
I see,
now you might be wondering, why is she even scary? I mean, like she's a woman.
Visually, that's scary. And she did some scary stuff.
Yeah. But like, what's the cause and effect if you see her? So sometimes she's a harbinger of death or bad events that will occur soon. And then other times she appears to men who are lost near bodies of water or children who are misbehaving near bodies of water. Again, I think this is one of those folklores, whether or not it's true, who knows? It's more of like a, we need to keep our kids safe. So we tell them that, like, you know, don't go messing around bodies of water because this woman will come after you. So that is kind of the condensed story of her, because again, like I said, if you're just from different parts of Latin America, like there are just so many different variations of the story. So take with it what you will.
Wonderful. That's amazing.
Yes. I didn't have a good pun for this one. I'm not good at puns. Look, like sometimes you are.
It's really hard and I don't know what I would have picked either. So
I was going to do like LaRomg.
My
okay.
All right.
I am done. Absolutely
terrible.
What I was contributing for this episode. Goodbye.
Thank you, Sarah. You're the best. So that is the background for Ava's costume. I will be honest now, it has nothing to do with anything else that happens in the rest of the book.
Oh.
But know that that is what her outfit is.
Well, if it makes you feel better, she, like I said, white dress, drenched. I don't know if she just kept pouring water on her all night. Like,
I'm going to guess she was doing a, like, the ring kind of thing with her hair kind of in front of her face.
No, she's known to have, like, a skeletal face. So, like, yeah, that's kind
of a
thing.
Oh, she's got her face is painted black and white.
Okay.
Sorry, amazing. Well, all of this to say, Ava is looking hot for the pumpkin night, and she is ready to hit the dance floor when all of a sudden she feels a hand on her waist that stops her as she's walking through. Now, unlike any normal human being, Ava is completely fine with this.
Oh.
And explains that she doesn't want to turn around to see who it is because of how she believes that, like, fleeting and intimate touches like that are best when you don't see who did it, which is not anything I can relate to. And I was not sure where that, who could say.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yes. Ava. But she's like, I better not turn around. I got to just bask in this moment with this random stranger's hand on my waist. Unfortunately, the culprit who grabbed her waist says, La Llorona, right? So she kind of has to turn around and see who it is.
Now I have to talk to another person. Yeah.
And so Ava does turn around and she's like, oh, fuck, because the voice in the hand belonged to her ex-boyfriend, Jack.
Oh, mm-hmm. Jack.
Mm-hmm. Her very human-looking ex-boyfriend, Jack.
Very human?
Looking. Ex-boyfriend Jack. Okay. So I'm gonna fill in some details that we don't really get to till later, because if you've not read the first one, then this is confusing without context, and also it just kind of doesn't explain this until later in the book, so I just thought it was confusing. But this is not the first Jack. Sarah is correct, we mentioned earlier, we will find out later in a not even really a big reveal kind of way, but not until the end of the book, that this is the son of Susie and Jack from the first Junior. They don't call him Jack Jr. eventually because it becomes relevant. I might have to start calling him young Jack, but that's like not till the very end. Don't even worry about it.
Does this mean we're going to get a cameo from mom and dad?
You'll just have to find out.
Okay. All right. I'll wait.
Anyway, we do not know what went down between Ava and Jack, but she's not very happy to see him. Even though his, quote, panty-melting charm and vibrant presence is delightful, she's having to remind herself, like, remember what he did, remember who he is, remember what he is, and we don't know what that means yet.
Okay.
So what does this Jack look like on this, the pumpkin night? He just looks like a normal human, just completely normal dude.
He's not wearing any costume.
Ava gives him shit for not dressing up, but he's like, guess again, because technically being a human is a costume for me.
Oh, because he's see? Like a demon, probably.
Because he's something that we're going to find out.
He's part something, that's for sure.
Yeah, so Jack is being kind of flirty and Ava's being like a little bit mad, and she's like, your costume's not even funny and nobody but me gets it. And he's like, well, awesome, because I only care about your opinion.
Roast him, Ava. Roast him over the coals, please.
Ava says, quote, I stepped back, my chest filling with a cocktail of twister emotions. And I just interjected. I hope that her emotions were a cocktail of Cosmo Pumpkinton, maybe. But who could know? My heart fluttered with a pulse. My insides twisted with unease. And under it all, a fire burned. I was so angry I could spit.
Okay. She all right, Ava. You know, I'm a girl's girl through and through. Mm-hmm. I already got the ick from Ava when she was like, yeah, I like when people touch me and I just don't look at them. I'm at a point where I'm like, you know what, Ava? I don't know if I'm for team you right now.
I'm just not sure if I relate. That's all. No. I'm just not sure if I can relate to how she felt. We get a little more detail about what happened between them. Jack tells Ava that he wants to talk to her because last year he bared himself to her and she just ran away and called him names and dumped him.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah, which is it seems mean and sad. And then Jack says, quote, but do you know what rankles the most? I don't know what that means.
Rankles
the most? No, R-A-N-K-L-E-S. Do you know what rankles the most?
Rankles?
Who could say? Anyway, after we both calmed down, I apologized to you profusely. I knew I'd frightened you and I was genuinely sorry, but you hurt me and yet not a word of regret passed your lips.
Ooh. Well, you know, I'm kind of team Jack, if I'm being really honest right now.
Really bad.
If you're, well, and again, we have yet to see what he confided in her, but
we don't have the full context yet.
But I am sitting here like, you know, if you really cared about a person, you wouldn't call names and run away. Anyway, again, I don't know what happened. We're going to find out. Maybe I'm going to eat my words.
So Ava is kind of like the audacity and she's like, fuck you for saying that. You don't have the right to say that. In her head, she's like, Jack is just being bossy and frustrating. And at the same time, a voice in the back of her head is like, but you like being bossed around, though. And we get the briefest flashback to, or like the briefest flash of Jack telling her to get on her knees, like in a past memory. Ooh. But Ava shakes it off.
Oh, of course. Can't think about that right now.
She's like, quote, in my dreams, I can revisit and confront this, but right now I cannot and I don't want to. Like, I need to figure this out. She's like, you lied to me. You deceived me from the moment we met. And then she says, all that time you pretended to be human, but you're not. Let me go. Mm. Interesting. Okay. So Ava's kind of trying to get away from Jack and then kind of like sort of still not because they're still at the pumpkin night on this dance floor.
She can't leave.
Yeah. Well, Jack says he wants to show her something. So naturally they join hands and then seemingly teleport out of the club and into a spinning dark void that
I'm sorry they teleport you're really saying they teleported
they Ava doesn't know what's going on but it gets real spinny and real dizzy and queasy and it's like not the club and then we end up somewhere else and they just kind of like land. And Ava's got her eyes closed because she's been so nauseous and there's been a lot of spinning. And they're just like standing there touching hands. And she just sort of refuses to open her eyes or initially acknowledge Jack at all.
Imagine leaving your friend back at the club like that, though.
Yeah. I don't think
so. Sorry, Monica.
We will never hear from Monica again.
Unless she's in a future book. No,
we will, at least in the rest of this book, not be hearing from Monica again.
Sorry, but Monica.
It seemed like she was having a lot of Jacko whiskeys or whatever and probably having a great time. So I bet she's fine. Great. So yeah, Ava's got her eyes closed because they just teleported and she's freaked out. And she's also nauseous and she also doesn't want to look at Jack. And Jack lets her know that he's, quote, sent off the servants so that she can freak out. So then she
servants?
Like... Servants? Well...
Don't love what that
says, what he says. So she's like, okay, I can open my eyes because we're alone, so I can freak out now because there's no servants, question mark. Who could say? When she does open her eyes, she is seeing the real Jack, not human costume Jack. He's got pumpkin head, he's got lots of fire all over the place, he is very orange, his teeth are sharp. Quote, the combination of pumpkin and man was absolutely ludicrous, and I choked out a laugh through my constricted throat. I didn't even know when he had lost his shirt, which
was
presumably in all the spinning and teleporting, I guess.
It comes off every time. He has to buy new shirts all the time.
Maybe he grows several sizes bigger when Haynes he's not human.
And loves him. Number one customer. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Ava also notices that Jack smells like candle and spices and warm skin, which is great. So we can pretty well assume that if there's any sort of magical component to Jack, which there must be because teleporting. She has not known about that.
Okay.
Jack magics a chair over to her and she like a little bit freaks out. And he explains that he brought her to this space to talk to her because she's been avoiding him for a year and blocking his calls.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's been a year, Jack.
He says, quote, "I wanted to see you." He interrupted, a cold note creeping in his voice. "You blocked my number. When I tried to contact you in other ways, you cursed and insulted me." And I found out to be kind of stalkery, but that's fine. It's clear Ava didn't want to know Jack was a pumpkin man. She wasn't aware of any of his actual true self when they were dating. And it seems maybe she wasn't like super chill about it when he showed it to her. She's like, "I've been off the grid because you're a scary pumpkin." And Jack which I think is fair, but Jack tells her, "You shouldn't have left because of fear."
Well, then what should I left have? Like, what? Well, you shouldn't have left because of fear.
We'll get back to it later. Just throw that in your brain bank. Okay. Ava is back by this and is like thinking. And then she sort of takes a moment to look around the room and collects herself and suddenly notices where she is. And you could never have guessed this. So I'm not even going to make you. She's standing in like a beautiful Beauty and the Beast ass style library, like a huge library.
You know what? Now I'm reconsidering how I feel about Jack at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm like, do you own this property? Have you paid off the mortgage? Are we going to live here?
You'll learn. Okay. Quote, this was an enormous, I'm going to describe it because everybody loves books. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves libraries because that's where you get them. This was an enormous personal library, something that belonged in another era, another country, another world. I pressed my hand to my lips and gasped, disbelieving my eyes. Bookshelves made of dark wood ran the entire perimeter of the room. They climbed the walls, and when they reached the ceiling, they didn't stop. The bookshelves ran up the ceiling, and where they met in the middle, a heavy black metal chandelier sprung, hanging low over our heads. Bright orange fires burning around the black hoop, and there's like cozy reading nooks and so many books and pumpkins casually incorporated in all the designs.
Nice.
Like in the patterns. On the couches for reading, maybe. It's got everything you want. And eventually, she's like, "Whoa, what a dream!" And then she's like, "Oh yeah, I'm here by force and not by choice. And my ex, who I don't like, has brought me here, so I need to come back to reality." And she was like, "There would be no book picking, no lounging, no quiet afternoons with a cup of tea in this library. No matter what happens next in this journey,
I will not fuck this man for his library.
No,
repeat after me. I will
not fuck this man for his library. Unless it's a really, really, really good library, then then I might have to do it. Well,
I'll do what I need to
do it for the books.
Do it for the plot.
Anyway, Ava is a little less scared now. Now she's curious because, like, this is a really big, crazy library, and Jack explains that it's his. And she asks if it gets stuffy because she doesn't see any visible windows and doors, which is a weird thing to ask.
But that's really weird.
It's to set up so that Jack can be like, "Yeah, I'll show you." So Jack has Ava pull a book off the wall, which moves part of a bookshelf to reveal these big, beautiful glass windows through which you can see like an incredible night sky, tons and tons of stars.
I'm sorry. The architecture here, no.
Like, beautiful galaxy, like the perfect vision of the night sky in a place where there's no light pollution. And this changes everything.
Oh my God.
For Ava. Quote, "I didn't know what this burgeoning in my chest was. It was like a powerful longing, like grief and loss finally answered, like my soul was home." So she just sobs. And then Jack catches her and he's like, "I know, right? They're really good. They're beautiful stars."
I know, that's the big winner.
And as Jack is comforting her in her head, Ava's like, "I guess, you know, honestly, I'm kind of already used to this pumpkin head," and her self-control just already started to just dwindle.
Jesus Christ.
Just dive bomb.
All right, fine.
Dive bomb. So Jack moves Ava to a different part of this building, which we learn is his home. This is, I think, my favorite part of the book. I can't really explain why. It just really tickled me. Quote, "I built this place," he said matter-of-factly.
I built this city. I had to. Okay, keep going.
"I named it Halloween Mansion, and it truly is. There's a candy bowl by the door, too. Sometimes some kids who are more attuned to the supernatural accidentally cross into this realm and call on my door. I put on the mask for them, which I think he means looks like a human. If they see me like this, they'll freak out, and then they might get lost between worlds. So,
okay, there are so many things to break down there. First being, I can't even remember. After you said the candy bowl thing? Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you were me, you disassociated it. I named it Halloween Mansion.
I'm really upset because, Layla Faye, you have so much creativity in you, and yet we came up with Pumpkin Night and Halloween Mansion.
I named it Halloween Mansion.
It's the cousin to Halloween Town, okay?
Yeah, it's the biggest house in Halloween Town.
It is. It's the one. It's a creepy one up on the hill that the kids go get lost at.
It's where the mayor of Halloween Town
lives. And then the fact that he's like, yeah, I have a bowl of candy for the kids. And then he's like, but it's not weird because I put on my mask. No,
it's for the kids because sometimes kids get interdimensionally lost.
They get lost.
And they just happen on by, and I gotta look like a human. God, or they'll freak out and they'll just be gone between worlds.
Okay. Anyway.
I love it. It's actually not really important to the plot at all. But this house is essentially in a different dimension where everything functions by magic, which Ava's like, well, I probably can't leave then unless Jack lets me because everything is, you know, controlled by magic. And she sort of pretends like she's disappointed, like maybe she was going to think about leaving out the first door she saw, but we can all pretty much guess that that's not going to be the case. So Jack has built everything in Halloween Mansion with custom magic, every detail, like custom very, magic. Very full interior design. And it's giving Ava some new perspective. So she talks about realizing that. So she says our 6-month relationship. So they had a long relationship and then it must have just ended on Halloween. Not once did she see the true Jack. She didn't know about this creative side of him.
Do we know how they met?
I don't remember. Dating so probably apps. Not.
Okay. Oh,
maybe you get it brought up. Okay. We'll find out. Maybe. We'll find out if it's in these notes. But yeah, she's like, maybe there's more to this pumpkin man than his big, big head and his orange body and his pointy teeth. The entire time they're touring Halloween Mansion, Ava is trying to not be horny and also convince herself that she doesn't like the mansion, doesn't like Jack, and absolutely can't stay here forever. So, like, her internal monologue is, first of all, know that she's horned up, like, the whole time and trying to ignore it.
Of course.
And then is like, well, I'm definitely not going to stay in this beautiful Halloween mansion made by magic with this buff man whose pumpkin head does not bother me anymore. And it's funny to watch the decline of her...
Her willpower? Yeah,
her willpower. Just, it becomes absolutely harder and harder as he shows her more of Halloween Mansion. Now they've moved into a dream kitchen that he's built, and it's got wood counters and brass pots and herbs and spices and shit hanging all over the place, and it's perfect. And Ava's like, it's like you pulled this out of my dreams. And Jack, while he's in the kitchen with her, offers to make her a pumpkin spice latte, which we learn is her favorite thing in the whole wide world.
Oh my God, does he put his jizz in it?
We'll get around to it.
Jesus Christ.
And the fact that he remembers that it's her favorite makes her like a little bit sad. And Ava explains that she loves fall more than anything. And by that, she means she loves tea and seasoned coffee and leaves and walking in the rain and mittens with the fingers cut off. Sure.
Ditto?
Classic fall. Okay. And then we get this beautiful backstory from Ava, and her words are just better than mine. Quote, and then I met Jack, and even though he looked normal then, he seemed so taken with my Halloween quirks. Every time I bought an especially nice pumpkin at the market, or wore a sweater with a pattern of pumpkins, or that black lingerie set with the bright orange lace, But then I found out why he was so excited about all that, because he was a pumpkin-headed freak.
Oh my God. First of all, okay, so then I think to myself, okay, if they broke up a year ago on Halloween and they were dating for 6 months before then, they would have met in the spring.
Autumnal the whole time.
Yeah, and are you just picking up pumpkins year round? I don't understand how you're getting pumpkins year round. And
he gets so excited when she gets a particularly good pumpkin.
Oh my God. Well, you know, I would be excited if I got a particularly good pumpkin in the middle of spring and summer too. My God.
This is so out of season. Amazing. So all of this remembering of their backstory is causing Ava to just stew more and more about what happened and how they left things off. But she has to stop worrying because Jack points out to her that thoughts dark thoughts and worrying make the magic in Halloween Mansion go a little funny. And then Ava notices there's like a small cloud above her head that's formed from her brooding. And then lightning zaps her nose just a little bit.
Oh, well, that was kind of cute.
Okay. It's a little cute. Halloween Mansion is very magical.
Clearly.
Let's get back to the pumpkin spice latte. So if you are with us for the first Jack book, I understand any feelings of concern that this brings to you. For now, do not worry, because Jack says of this pumpkin spice latte, quote, "All right, one pumpkin spice latte. Also, I want you to know the syrup I used is store-bought, produced and bottled in an ordinary human facility."
I'm so glad he was like, in case anybody was wondering, it is not my dad's jizz or my jizz or anyone's jizz for that matter.
Ava doesn't
to my
have
knowledge.
That context. She's I know. Kind of like, I mean, what else would you use?
But like, that's so odd. And I love that she threw that in for the reader. She was like, well, just so you know.
So he's like, this is regular human made, definitely normal pumpkin spice. And Ava's like, oh, I don't know what else you would use. And he was like, I hope to show you later.
Oh, okay.
But again, she doesn't have context for that.
No, okay.
Only we have context for that.
I know. Okay.
Apparently, store-bought is fine because it's the best pumpkin spice latte of her life. And she takes a sip and she just melts. And she's like, the whipped cream is creamier. And there's like a bite of dark coffee in it. And there's a sweet and spicy aftertaste. And then she's like, why can't I just be happy?
Oh,
and I get it.
Being moved to tears by warm
pumpkin
drinks.
Spice latte.
Yeah.
Realizing you can't even enjoy your favorite things.
Yeah.
Really devastating.
When your ex has literally ruined everything for you. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So this has just pushed it over the edge for Ava. She's like, clearly Jack was perfect for me. He lives in my dream home and he makes great coffee. And honestly, it's fine that his head is a pumpkin. So I like.
Hold on. Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Again, I'm a girl's girl, but I'm really starting to hate Ava for so many reasons. And one of which is it's now feeling like she's a little bit of a gold digger. Like, she didn't accept him how he was. And now she wants him because he has this wonderful house. He has these wonderful pumpkin spice lattes. He's got the coziest of nooks and bowls of candy for little children. It's feeling unauthentic, Ava. Okay.
I don't remember if I kept this in my notes, but it is later revealed that the bowl of candy is a fountain of candy.
Oh my god. Okay.
I just feel like that needed to be said. Also, calls it
for
a bowl
clarification.
In the quote. He like initially he refers to it as a bowl of candy, and then later it is revealed to be a fountain of candy.
I want to know the mechanics of that, and I want to know what candy fits in the fountain aspects.
Well, do I have news for you? Obviously, it's magic.
Oh. Okay. All right.
So,
keep going.
We're spiraling. She's like, of course, like I totally messed up. And maybe I should have been with Jack the whole time. And also, I kind of want to kiss him now. But like, how do I kiss him? And she has the most rational thought of any human being, which is, how do you kiss a pumpkin with no lips?
Thank you.
She says it. She says,
Thank you.
Like, I would like to kiss this pumpkin, but how do you kiss a pumpkin with no lips? And I was like, thank you.
I wonder if Layla had so much feedback after first Jack.
I'm happy.
I think we need to address this. Okay.
So before she goes in for a kiss, she remembers that Jack told her earlier that leaving him because she was afraid wasn't the right reason. You may recall.
Yes, I do. Thank you for reminding me.
So right now, kind of without the prompt I just gave you, she turns to Jack and asks him, what was the right reason?
Oh, you're just, a little late.
I had to go back pages to find when he said this because it didn't immediately click for me because there was no additional setup. Like, he mentioned it once. He was like, you didn't leave. Being afraid wasn't the right reason. And then so much other stuff happens. And then just in this moment, she's like, so what was the right reason?
Oh my gosh.
And it turns out that a right reason would have been if she wasn't attracted to him. Oh. And that's it. He's just like, I don't know, like if you weren't attracted to me.
Okay.
And there's no more reasons than that. And we know it seems like a non-issue because Ava continues to be horny for Jack and has essentially given up fighting it because the house is too beautiful. But we're about the hard pivot because Jack straight up calls her out for being horny. He's like, oh. I know this isn't a problem right now. I can literally tell that you're trying to fight very natural impulses of being horny around me. And then he says, quote, "You have an almost uncontrollable impulse to straddle me. Take out my cock and impale yourself on it. Right now your pussy is soaking wet just from being near me. Your hands are shaking from how much you want to run them down my skin. Your mouth is cold and desperate for my kiss. And your tongue wants nothing more than to tangle itself with mine."
You know, the riz on this man is a lot.
And Ava's like, yeah, I have to admit, I sort of want him back.
Yeah, you know, he isn't wrong.
Well, it's confusing because she's like, I do want him back, but like kind of the way he was before with the added benefit of this mansion. And it's a little confusing and shallow because yeah, she has already said she doesn't mind his pumpkin head. And it already doesn't matter. Like immediately it won't matter. So we can just move on from whether she wants him to be human or not.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember, he's full pumpkin head man now. Jack kind of lays it out all for Ava and is like, look, I just want you to apologize for leaving because
I need you to do this one thing for me.
Please apologize and for leaving because you were scared and hurting my feelings. And if you don't want to, then he'll take her back to the club and never see her again. And Ava is like, fuck you for putting me in this position. But it gets so sexy so fast that like none of that interaction even matters. She and Jack are already like against each other. And so Jack just kind of decides to lightly choke her. And she feels this boner and is excited. And he tells her to say monster if she wants him to stop. And hold that in your head because it will be important.
I'm sure it will be.
Mm-hmm. So Ava hardly has time to get too in her head about what she's doing. Because Jack has, quote, pressed the open seam of his mouth to her lips, and she finds out that you can kiss a pumpkin. And she says he had a firm pumpkin-y edge of his mouth catching on her lip, and it was warm.
Okay.
So that's how you kiss a pumpkin.
I don't like it.
No, it's not for everybody.
You can give me the explanation. I still won't like it. That's fine. No,
basically, it's how you would imagine, but apparently warm.
Okay.
So now it's go time. We get the return. I don't know if this got mentioned when we covered it in the podcast the first time, but in both books, both Jacks are able to snap and instantly remove their partner's clothes. So Jack.
I don't know if I remember saying that.
It happens
in
both. Mm-hmm. So please ask for consent before you snap someone's clothes off. They don't in either book. You gotta ask first. But even in this preliminary sexiness, Ava admits that she's more turned on by Jack now than she ever was when they had hooked up in his human form. So we know they have not had sex in his true pumpkin form. They've only done it in some kind of human situation. And I assume all of his business was human looking at the time.
Okay. So now we have unhuman looking.
Yes.
Things.
This is full pumpkin man. Full pumpkin man.
Yep.
So he's got her on the counter and he's like taking her all in and calling her sugar a lot, which I didn't love, but that's just my personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like that. And they're doing a lot of flat pumpkin kissing, and Jack instructs Abe to like kind of put on a show for him, which at first makes her cringe because she's not really into it. And so Jack reminds her like, hey, if you don't want this, just say monster and we'll end it. And yeah. So like, what's going on with that? Well, we learn in a quick aside that Ava called Jack a monster when she first saw his true form. And in fact, she kind of screamed it in his face when she saw him and it hurt his feelings.
This feels... I don't know how to describe that. This feels not just ironic, but like deep levels of internal hatred.
It's not the foundations I would build a relationship on necessarily.
Yeah.
If I had to choose.
No, for sure. For sure. For sure.
So... Ava feels bad about, like, she's of course puts that together every time he's bringing up monster. She's like, it's because I called him monster and that was so awful and I feel so bad. Especially now that I'm finding out he's a hot pumpkin man with a Halloween mansion. So she resolves internally not to say monster to him, at least until she apologizes for how she reacted. And then like, maybe she can do it in a sexy way, because for Ava, fucking is better than apologizing. Like saying sorry for being kind of a pumpkin racist. She's like, let's hook up first. I can apologize later. I will not say monster to this man and give up.
But maybe you should apologize now.
Well, instead of communicating about their traumatic falling out, Ava is going to make a show of touching herself, and Jack's going to get really into it, which Ava's going to really like. And in her head, she's like, did he get more buff after we broke up? Because damn, this is crazy. And just in this part alone, she's already... about to come, and she also decides that she wants to try and start apologizing.
while she's coming.
And so as she starts to say, "I'm sorry," Jack mumbles her mouth using magic and says, quote, "You had your chance, sugar, but you didn't take it. And now we'll do this the hard way.
Oh,
run, run, Ava," he says.
Oh, and there's a chase sequence, isn't there?
And so now I have this in all caps in my notes. Jack turns the mansion into a spooky, shadowy, like, realm and makes his face real scary and chases Ava around the house. And it's horrifying, and she's scared the whole time, and she's naked. And so, like, shadows are nipping her in the butt and burning her while she's running through a spooky shadow mansion?
Look, I'm all into, like, BDSM, but you should always do it consensually and never out of actual anger. So this is very conflicting, but I will say there was a chase sequence. I don't know if I articulated that in the first book, but there was a chase sequence between mom and dad too. So
it runs in the family.
Yeah. Literally runs in the family. Anyway,
it all runs in the family. So we're nude running down the spooky hallway, and Ava is running and running. And then finally she finds a room and she like runs inside and she locks it. And she's like relieved because now she's just in a room. And so she goes and is like, okay, well, dark in here. Let's turn on the light. She feels around and she flips up a light.
Okay.
And then the room fills up with ambient light and it's revealed that Jack's not very far away. He's like there, mm-hmm. which is frightening. But he had the lights in his eyes and his mouth extinguished. So that's how she didn't notice him at first. But then they light up. Red and angry, and he's like grinning. He's like, ha ha ha, like he fell into my trap. And he says, "Welcome to my dungeon, sugar."
It feels like it lost its luster when he said sugar.
Yeah, welcome to my dungeon, sugar. I built it just for you.
Oh my gosh.
Sarah, if you had to guess what things are in this dungeon, I don't know. Throw out some guesses. What kind of stuff would you put in a dungeon you're building for your ex-girlfriend?
Well, I'm gonna put some pumpkin carving tools in there.
Important.
I'm gonna put You know, I'm still in like the fall mood, and you know, the corn maze smut really did it for me. So maybe we're going to put some like corn stalks to tire down. we're going to put some pumpkin spice latte for the pumpkin spice sexuals in there.
This is Halloween Mansion.
Yeah. No, I'm guessing there's probably like some flogs. There's some blindfolds. Mm-hmm. There's some dildos. Mm-hmm. There's maybe a corn dildo. Who knows? If you have no idea what we're talking about, go listen to our last couple episodes. Okay, tell me what's in the room.
The hair on Ava's neck rises in horror and, quote, something else, which I think is supposed to indicate horniness, because the dungeon has a king-size bed with black sheets and orange pillows. It's got a rack of whips. It's got a display of handcuffs and robes. It's got a low bench that's upholstered in black leather, and then a much taller one that's in orange.
Well, and here's what the first thing I would do if I was Ava. I would walk up to those robes and I'd feel them out. And then I'd say, can I take one with me? Like when I leave though, will my credit card be charged?
Ropes.
Oh, I thought you said robes.
You can take them with if you want, if you like them.
Oh, all right. Well, that just lost my luster. All right. Keep going.
So once again, Jack's like, tell me I'm a monster, blah, blah, blah. And then I'll stop.
Okay.
She's like, oh, I see. You're punishing me. I get it.
Now figured that out?
Sorry. She's like, I see that this is now a punishment. And she goes to start saying she's sorry again, only she doesn't get the full sorry out because Jack mumbles her mouth again with magic again. And is like, I've only just begun.
Of course.
So he straps her to a leather bench and ties up her hands. And Ava's not really scared anymore. She's like, first of all, tying my hands is overkill. Like, I don't think that's necessary. It's funny because she's not like, ooh. You would think that since she gets generally what's happening now, it's like big, sexy BDSM time, that she would be kind of in for it. And she's like, I feel like we don't need to tie my hands.
Yeah.
Which is funny. So she thinks about saying monster, but then realizes that she's actually really into it now. So it's fine. And in her head, she's like, yeah, I really like being boss around. And apparently I was a glutton for punishment too.
I love this self-discovery journey for you, Ava.
So do I. So Jack kind of now reveals his master plan for the night, which is, and if you read the first book or listen to the podcast, you will not be surprised. It's just doing anal. He's like, tonight's the night. I'm going to shove my real cock inside you. And by the time I'm done, you'll be corrupted. And after tonight, no human dick will satisfy you.
And she's probably like, do your worst.
Well, on the one hand, Anna was like, I might be down, but I'm definitely not presently ready for anal.
Yeah, that's a process.
Yeah,
they need to work up to.
It's okay, because Jack says it's okay. They won't do it. They specifically won't do anal until she begs for it. To which Ava is like, you are crazy if you think I will beg you. I won't beg you in a million years. And I'm sure that her will stay ironclad for the rest of this encounter.
Yeah, no, foreshadowing. I can't imagine that she will ever let her guard down.
Mm-hmm. So to get things started, Jack uses liquid feeling magic to arouse all of Ava's body.
Sorry, can you say that one more time? Yeah,
I said liquid feeling magic. It feels like liquid, but...
So it's invisible lubricant?
I mean, if there's nothing actually on there...
That's what I'm saying.
It's invisible. Magic? I don't know how to explain magic to you, Sarah.
But it's liquid, though. I'm so...
No, it's liquid feeling. If you had to describe the sensation...
I think you and I are talking about the same exact shit.
Hear me out. No, I think we are, too. It's just there's not a physical thing there. So you know that thing that people do where they pretend to crack an egg on your head and it gives you chills? Maybe it's like that, but everywhere, and also magic.
Okay, but is it a lubricant? Is it trying to be a lubricant?
No. This is just sort of generally arousing and relaxing. This is not special lubricant. Sorry. Okay. I should have clarified. So Jack puts Ava in magical stirrups, and then... starts his weird liquid feeling magic again. It relaxes her whole body, even, she says, like, tense muscles from her day-to-day, which I would also like this magic because that sounds great.
How much do I have to pay for that?
I'm hunched over all the time, and if you've got some liquid feeling magic that can make that feel better, I would love it.
Do you take health insurance?
Is insurance even really needed for this?
Yeah,
probably not. Jack then gives what I can only really describe as like a villain monologue, but make it sexy. He's got her tied up and he's like, you've been a bad girl, but it was my mistake. I should have shown you my true cock first, because you wouldn't have run away from that. You would have stayed, and then you would have like messed around with my stuff, and it would have sealed the deal. And he says, because I taste good sugar. I taste like your favorite thing in the whole wide world.
Pumpkin spice.
So he teases her body more and is like, tell me. And she's like, tell you what? And he's like, what's your favorite taste? And so she finally lets out like a pumpkin spice, and he calls her a good girl, which is great. And then she immediately comes, and I think this is just from like the liquid magic. She comes a bunch, and it's magical. It's like literally magical, because he's been using pumpkin magic to stimulate her body. She says it's the best orgasm she's ever had, and they haven't even had sex yet. To which I said, well, many people don't orgasm on penetration alone, so I think that makes a lot of sense.
Amen.
And Jack is like, want to know what my favorite taste is? You want to guess what his favorite taste is?
Her.
Yeah, he eats her out.
Yeah, I figured.
And you may recall from the first Jack that the first Jack's tongue is long and crazy.
Yeah.
And this Jack's tongue is also long and crazy.
So he got all of his dad's genes is what we know.
He is basically identical to his dad in a way where if you didn't know that his dad had bred with Susie in the first book, could lead you to believe that this was the exact same Jack. It's not.
That's kind of disappointing, if I can say so.
He has the ability to look human, but like in his true pumpkin form, he's exactly like his dad. And I guess
give us something a little different. Have him inherit something from his great grandfather on that side that like the traits didn't pass down until his generation.
Maybe he's like a lighter color orange.
I don't know, one of those white pumpkins or something. I'm really feeling disappointed right now, but okay. Well, all right, keep going.
Well, Ava's not disappointed because he sticks his tongue all up in her business, and he's like, you're my favorite taste, gotta have it every day.
yep.
And during this, Ava's like, oh my god, and he's like, the name's Jack, but thanks. And that made me laugh.
Yeah, we love a good God comment.
Yes. So there's lots more oral, and everyone's having a great time. But now Ava is worried that all of this is just, well, she's worried that it's all punishment from Jack, which it is, but like,
yeah,
more seriously, she's worried that he's gonna slam her down big style and then abandon her as like revenge for running away on their relationship. She's gotten really in her head and is like, oh no, we are gonna hook up, but like then he's gonna leave forever, and that's the actual punishment. Ooh,
girl, it's almost like you did that to him.
Yeah, crazy. And so she's
karma's a bitch.
She sort of mentions this to him, and he's like, well, I'm not gonna tell you whether I'm leaving or not. Let's just fuck like it's the last time and see what happens.
That's wild. The gaslighting is insane. Okay.
Yeah, Ava doesn't care though. She's like, okay, fine. I'm so horny. You can do whatever you want. And Jack is like, I want to do it in your beehole. And also I want you to beg, remember? Because that's what I said. And so in her head, she's like, do I say monster and leave? No. Can I persuade Jack to not do this way? No. And so she gives in and she begs, obviously. It's the only answer.
Yeah, of course.
So, great. Jack starts to massage her and it begins to smell like, what? Cloves? Why is that? It's because Jack has brought out magic lube and is rubbing on her body. The last time I mentioned it had gold flecks and was made for Susie. I just assume it's different for Ava because it doesn't explain any of those things.
Okay,
but it smells good.
Exact same thing. Are you kidding me?
Good.
No. Okay. Now I have real beef.
It smells so good. She keeps begging, and he keeps teasing her, and so now she's frustrated. She's like, "I'm doing the begging, and now, and I actually want to engage in this process, but now you're withholding it. Come on." And this goes back and forth for a while. And then they do finally end up having anal, and we are reminded that Jack's peen vibrates. And that
wait, did the first one vibrate too?
Yeah, when he spoke, it vibrated. And
that's what I remember.
Yeah, I think it's similar, but this is like
he can make it vibrate.
I think he just like make it vibrate.
All right, I'll take it.
Yeah. Looks wise though, I can only assume that all pumpkin headed orange buff men have the same style of penis.
Wait, did they explain the penis though?
Yes.
Okay.
It is A, big, B, has several ridges, C, has a cone-like tip, and it fits super snug, flat on top, not pointy.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And
four balls?
Yes. Well, okay. I think we get to it later, but yes, four balls. And then afterwards, it feels to Ava like, quote, the burn left over by a strong spicy chai on my tongue is what it feels in her beehole. Please, I feel like I've said this multiple times already in this podcast.
Is this in her vagina or her butt?
No, this is in her butthole. But okay, all I'm saying is stop putting warming spices in any of your orifices.
Okay, but when he was born that way.
But he's using also special spicy lube.
Okay, no, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, okay. That's anyway, but
maybe he looked up how I was going to deal with her pH levels and everything, and like it'll be fine. Guess it's her butthole. I don't know. Okay, never mind. Sorry, keep going.
But
we're getting too technical about
this. They have a great time, and everybody comes, and Jack's like, "Let's do it again," and it was like, "When?" And he's like, "Now."
He's like, "Well, while I've got you here, we might as well."
Immediately again, the refractory period is zero. You can just go and go and go. But she's really taken aback by that. So yeah, I included this quote specifically for this part. The bench slid lower, leveling with the floor, and Jack leaned on his forearms and planted both sides. Leaned on his forearms, planted on both sides of me. Sorry. We were in perfect vanilla missionary, except he was in my asshole and his face was a flaming pumpkin.
I'm sure that's what the missionaries wanted.
Was exactly like was vanilla exactly missionary.
What you're talking about.
He was in my asshole and his face was a flaming pumpkin.
Yes.
And then he says, let's make love. And so instead of it being a little more hardcore and erotic the first time, they're doing like a slower, lovier anal this time. And he tells her like, we can do this every day. He says, quote, in the morning, you will wake up with my tongue on your clit, followed by my cock up your cunt. Then after lunch, you will blow me for dessert. And in the evening, I will make love to you, fucking your ass and telling you how beautiful you are, which is a very specific schedule.
Yeah. And I'm just curious, like, I mean, look, if anal's your thing, anal's your thing. But if I were to have a list and I'm ending my night with something,
every
it's not going to be anal.
Anal every day.
Every single day. Oh my God.
Look, if that's your jam,
I'm so happy for you if that's your thing. But again, it for me, myself and I, if I was creating that laundry list and a timeline.
I just might need a couple breaks.
Or, like, that's not how I'd want to end my day.
No, it's a lot. It's a lot. So it was, like, every day. And Jack's like, yeah, because we got to make up for our year apart. And also, we got to fuck twice for every time I jacked myself off. No pun intended, I am adding. Thinking about you. So she's like, all right. And again, this entire conversation is happening while they're having intercourse. And so just to clarify, it was like, so this will not be the last time that we have sex, right? And Jack's like, duh, of course not.
Yeah, I was just gaslighting her.
Yeah, like, I'm never letting you go again. And she's like, okay, well, in that case, can I apologize to you so that we can clean up the mess of our past and start strong together? And Jack's like, you can make up for it, but right now you gotta get on your knees.
Yep. Knew that was coming. He hasn't finished yet, right?
He has. I think he finished during anal.
Anal, first time. Okay.
If I recall. Their sex continues. And Ava comes for, I think, what ends up being a third time. The first time, I think, is when she's just putting on her own little show. No. The first time is with magic. First time is magic. Second time is anal. Third time is this anal.
Okay.
Okay. It's three.
Happy for her.
Yeah. And, but this time, it's like a actual out-of-body experience orgasm, and like time slows and it's all crazy and it's like the best ever, and they're snuggling and they're having a great time, and the doorbell rings because some kids show up, because kids can get interdimensionally lost and stumble
the fuck up
Halloween Mansion. That's what happens. And dang, what can you
are
do
these so it's like dying or are they just like time traveling a little bit, or like what?
Maybe that the realms are so, like, the veil between realms is so thin on Halloween specially attuned kins can happen upon Halloween Mansion on Halloween.
Okay. All right.
So Jax goes and gets up and looks human and then gives them candy from his candy fountain per usual. And he comes back and he's like, I swear this one goth girl who brought them knows exactly what this place is. Every year she brings more friends, and they had huge paper bags and filled them to the brim. Cheeky kids. And he was like, anyway, I put the candy bowl, which again, between you and me, Sierra, is a fountain.
Yeah, no, I've picked up on that.
So he's like, if more kids come, they can just help themselves to candy. And so great. Ava looks at Jack in his human form again. She's like, meh, this no longer does it for me. Bring back the pumpkin. I want real Jack.
Oh, for a second, I thought it was the reverse. So I was like, you just told this man.
That would be so
wild. Would be so fucked up. Okay, no, sorry.
She's had a full. I mean, it didn't take a lot to change her heart anyway, but she's all about real pumpkin Jack. And finally, she apologizes for calling him a monster last year. Mm-hmm. And her apology is accepted. And Jack very jokingly is like, you still got to pay by getting on your knees. But he's being playful and he forgives her. And then he's like, oh, I haven't shown you the garden. Why not?
Yeah.
So he takes her to the garden.
He was like, that was my last resort to get you horny.
Yeah. If the library, beautiful kitchen, and view of stars didn't win you over, I thought maybe the garden could do it. So there's like stained glass and beautiful flowers and a hedge maze. And what's in the middle of that maze? A big pumpkin-shaped jacuzzi that smells like spices.
Is this The Bachelor?
We love
a jacuzzi. You
can film a great dating show here. This one is not made out of like a metal tub.
Okay. All right.
This one is shaped like a pumpkin.
Is it a pumpkin though? Like, is it actually a pumpkin?
Yeah. I don't know that it's actually a pumpkin, but I do believe
it's just shaped.
It is like if you cut a pumpkin in half and took the top off of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like that. I'm not sure. That's anyway, it smells like spices, and it's very casually pumpkin themed, like everything else in the whole mansion. And it was like, I love it here. And Jack's like, then stay. And he seems a little bit sad, so she's like, what's wrong? And Jack explains that he still doesn't really know where they stand, and he wants her to stay. And she tells her, like, don't worry, I'm all in, I never stopped loving you, I was afraid and a coward before, but now I'm not scared and I want to be with you. And she's like, quote, you're my pumpkin spice latte, my favorite thing in the world. And so she's like, yeah, it's settled. You're going to stay. So it was like, great. What about my job? Which has never been mentioned before.
Okay. Do we know what she does?
No. And Jack's like, you don't need one. I can provide for you. But if you want one, I can do earth portals and you can have a job.
Easy. That's the problem is he keeps meeting these women making earth portals. And that's how the kids are coming through, because they find the leftover earth portals.
Probably your sexy earth portals. But anyway, it's all great. It's all sorted. So Jack is finally ready to really let Ava apologize so they can start with a clean slate. And he's like, it's time for you to say sorry, but like the real sorry. And he's caressing her cheeks. And also like, he's got like his liquid magic on her nipples. Oh. Got to do that clean slate. And Ava's like, great. Can I have something to drink? And he's like, yep, time to earn it. And this makes her horny again. Why? Because she's got to suck his dick for the drink, yep. Which is the pumpkin spice latte jizz. So they go to a nearby greenhouse that is Victorian in style because, according to Jack, quote, I'm told women secretly dream about being railed in a Victorian greenhouse. So here it is.
You know what? That's the most honest thing this man has said this whole entire book.
Yeah.
So
they're in the beautiful Victorian greenhouse we all dreamed of fucking in. Jack instructs Ava, quote, suck my cock, my sweet Halloween slut.
I thought she was sugar. You can't go change. Well,
for the apology, she's a sweet Halloween slut.
Okay. All right.
Obviously his jizz is pumpkin spice and it's, you know,
yeah,
sweet and spicy and gingery and it's like cloves and she absolutely loves it. Ava says that she says, quote, it was as it should be, cum that was a treat, turning a blowjob into an act of absolute indulgence. And here I was going to ask if you remember anything specific about Jack's balls, because this is where we found out he has four.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Mama Jack says something similar with Daddy Jack,
like that's about, a lot like, of balls.
Like if blowjobs were this great, women would have no problem. Like,
this is pro blowjob propaganda.
Or maybe I made that comment. Who knows? I just remember that being discussed.
But he's like, yeah, I got four balls, the better to feed you with, which I've been told scientifically is not how that works anyway.
Yeah, no.
Not related to number of balls.
No,
not related to the balls.
He's got to carry it all somewhere.
Yeah, but he's got four of them. So she gives him head to completion and everyone's so happy. And she's like, do you forgive me? And he's like, I forgave you when I showed you my real face today and you didn't run this time. Yay. He'd already forgiven her the whole time. And then he chased her around the house. He was scared.
Where was she supposed to go? You brought her to a weird ass mansion. Where is she supposed to go?
This book reminded me of a Halloween Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely kind of what it is. Yeah, no, it is.
So, yeah, Ava decides to stay. And I thought we'd already done that, but she's like, I am really ready to stay. And also, I'm really thirsty. And so Jack explains that now that she's a mistress of Halloween Mansion, which I felt escalated very quickly, she can actually just summon stuff.
Is that every woman he has sex with in Halloween Mansion? Because we don't know this man's sexual history.
I don't know how many partners have been to Halloween Mansion, but she is a mistress of Halloween Mansion.
Okay.
So at first she's like, I think this is funny because I've never had pumpkin juice, but I've had this very similar experience, which is that in her head, Ava is like, I'm going to summon pumpkin juice because it sounds like it could be good and I've heard about it before and I want to see if it's good. And she summons some, but it's gross. She's like, ew, terrible. And he's like, yeah, I don't know why you picked that. So they switch to champagne and they toast to a new beginning of their relationship. And then they live, quote, pumpkin-y ever after. Epilogue. Dun, dun, dun.
I'm so glad we get an epilogue.
There's always an epilogue.
There's not always an epilogue. We know this. Hope, don't say shit like that.
There's always an epilogue in Jack-related literature, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, we did get an epilogue last time, too.
Got an epilogue. So in this epilogue, Ava is having pumpkin spice tea. With who? Well, I'm happy to tell you, with Susie, Jack's mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so Susie and now old Jack are revealed to be young Jack's parents. Surprise.
Yep.
But it
wasn't a surprise. I'm so sorry.
Like it was a surprise, but also I feel like it needed to be explicitly brought up earlier so that I didn't think Ava was having sex with the first Jack all the
time. Yeah, no, that's absolutely fair, though, too.
Anyway, Susie and Ava and also young Jack is there. They're having a lovely cup of tea. And Susie is asking if Ava and young Jack want to, quote, join the family business, which, as you may remember, is milking older Jack for his jizz and selling it as organic pumpkin spice latte. And they're talking about it. Like, she's like, you know, the family business where I milk my husband for his jizz and then I sell it for as organic pumpkin spice latte. And Ava is very shocked by this. So she like knocks her tea over. And then she's like, this tea was really good because it tasted like pumpkin spice latte. Quote, I ran to the sink and hurled. Jack came over and held my hair, patting my back. It was mine. Sorry. I won't do it again if you don't like this. But I thought, well, you love sucking it straight from my cock. So what's the difference?
In front of your mother?
What? And Ava straightens up, wipes her mouth, and says, thank God. I thought it was your dad's.
No. Yes. No one asked for this type of an epilogue.
I love this epilogue. So yeah, she spills her tea, remembers that she thought it was so good because it was like nice and spiced, and then you're like, oh no, I think this is Jack's dad's jizz, and then throws up, and Jack's like, no, my jizz the whole time.
But also, like, imagine plotting that with your mother. Going to jizz in her tea.
Well, I don't know if she knew that was gonna happen, but
then if they're both having tea, hold on, no, Hope, think about this. If they both are having tea together, and one of them is Jack's junior's jizz, does that mean Jack Senior put his jizz in the mom's tea?
Oh, yeah,
but that would have had to have been discussed.
Look. We didn't get that deep.
I think they're terrible parents. I think this is really fucked up.
Susie is just like so unbothered by all of this, probably because her life's passion is doing this for Jack. And so after this, they tell her, like, we're not interested in helping you guys sell Jack's dad's jizz. And essentially Jack is like, he doesn't say this directly, but basically what he's implying is like, Ava's a greedy cum guzzler who doesn't want to care. So we're not going to sell mine either. And we're not going to help you sell dad's. So bye, mom.
But she's that's like, so he's fucked. Like, no. Mom,
my girlfriend really loves sucking my dick to completion and swallowing when she's done. So we can't sell mine because she's too greedy. And we don't want to sell dad's because that's weird. Goodbye, mom.
I want to have an open environment with my family, but not that open. And never that open, actually. Boy. Okay.
So, yeah, I guess they're not going to join the family business. They make Susie leave so that they can bone, and young Jack offers Ava more tea with some special organic pumpkin spice latte, and she says she loves pumpkin spice latte, so he tells her to get on her knees so they can make organic syrup, and the book ends with, have a delicious spicy Halloween. The end.
How lovely. I felt like we really, I know you loved it. I'm very upset about it.
I feel like there's something to be said for plot similarity versus mechanical similarity, because like the actual story is different. It's about a different relationship where they were dating and she thought he was human and then surprised he wasn't human, and like that part's different. It is just that the anatomy of this man is the exact same as his dad's.
Yeah, and I think for me, hold on. We'll go through our scorecard here in a second. Let's go through a scorecard because that'll cover some of this.
Yes.
But diversity, there's none. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I mean.
No. Plot, I'm a little, like, there's no plot. Like, I shouldn't say that. They're getting back together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give a plot a 3, personally. So, what do you think?
I'm going to give the plot a 3.5, and my 0.5 is based on the whimsy I feel about Halloween Mansion, which is a lot of whimsy.
Okay.
And it's not really plot related, but it's That's still why I'm giving related. It a 3.5.
But I'm just like, oh God, I'm just upset because it felt, I at least like that this is like a second chance romance plot instead of like they're strangers meeting and he's obsessed with her like the first one. But I am upset that like so much of it had to do with the same things his dad did. Like they had a little chase sequence. I think there was an anal sequence.
Yeah, it's very specifically the end goal is anal.
Yeah, and I don't know. It just was like all so much the same. Anyway, Smut, I'll give it a 4 because that Smut's fairly good. Even though it's a copycat Smut, it's good.
Yeah, I'll give it a 4 as well. It is like the majority of the book. It's like a very long and expansive scene.
So, okay. I have pulled up the photo of the cover. This is maybe worse than the other one, I think.
I'm going to be honest with you and tell you that I'm not sure they're super different.
That's what I'm saying. I think This is a worse version of the first one.
I think that the cord. Well, please describe it to our listeners.
Okay, so it's this super buff guy who definitely has like they distorted his body to look orange, and he's like in an orange haze. He's in some graveyard. There's like a smoky background with like some tree branches and a moon and a graveyard. I don't know. And it says in like Goosebumps font. Jack, and then a slasher like two and other stories, and then at the bottom it says Halloween Monster Erotica box set. But I think maybe it is the same because it's the box set. If it's if it's all the stories in there, then that makes sense. You know, I again, who am I to say? Oh, and it also says Layla Faye. Oh, I didn't even describe the head. I'm so sorry. I'm not
You'll never guess
what his head is. It's a pumpkin, but the whole pumpkin is on fire. I don't know why they put the whole pumpkin on fire, because to my understanding, it was just like there was a fire within the pumpkin that like burned, but not the whole pumpkin on fire. Whatever. I am disappointed. Give us a different cover. I'm giving this cover a 2. You are completely muted right now.
Oh, sorry. My dog was barking. I will give it a 2 as well. Interestingly, as I look, I pulled up the old one, like the first one and the second one, and the pumpkin heads are slightly different.
Yeah, but I think they are. I'm just like, they are. But they are not they enough have... to be like a whole different, like you would look at them and think that that's maybe the same one.
Yeah. The first cover has, like the eyes are downward pointing triangles, nose is an upward pointing triangle, and then he's got like several square teeth in his mouth. And Jack 2 has like a completely different eye shape, still a triangle nose, and he's only got like 2 teeth.
Yeah, I don't like the 2 teeth. Give him a full mouth. He's got dental insurance.
And and he has sharp pointy teeth.
Yeah. And that leaves us, me at a 60%, you at a 63.3%. I appreciate you doing this book. I really do. I'm just disappointed, Layla. I think we could have done, and I know I'm being hypercritical of a monster smut novella, but maybe it's just because we've been doing this for over a year now that I'm like, I have expectations. I want things. If you really loved Jack, the first one, and you were like, I just want that again. Like, yeah, this will be perfect. This is exactly what you want. But I think as somebody who was expecting a second generation to have maybe some differences, this kind of disappointed me a little bit. But again, Jack as a concept, as a lifestyle, is iconic.
Jack as a toxic type that you date sometimes.
Yeah.
Great.
Four balls.
Four.
Pumpkin
all four
head. Pumpkin spice latte jizz. Milking family business. I mean, all of it's iconic. I think
Victorian greenhouse.
Yeah, Victorian greenhouse. I will say that may be one of my say smut moments.
Yeah, what is your say smut moment?
It was maybe the most relatable thing I think I've ever heard from an unrelatable book. But the fountain, the candy fountain, the fact that he has this, I was really pissed off with Ava. I'm sorry. She's a surface level bitch. I can't get over it. Because she didn't accept him the way he was. And now all of a sudden she's turned on after she sees his wealth and magic. Not fair.
Yeah. Like at best, the implication is she's briefly glanced at his pumpkin head, screamed that he was a monster, turned around and ran, and then just like didn't look back at him ever again. Because it took her no time to get used to his pumpkin head.
Yeah. It took her a year. And he came after her for them to have this reconciliation.
Yes. I got to be honest. Jack could use a little more self-respect.
And also, if his dick is so big, I don't understand how they're doing anal like out the gate. I'm sorry. You need to like train your ass for that. I'm pretty sure.
There is, I think, and now I'm getting books 1 and 2 conflated because I did end up reading both back to back. I believe there's some massaging to open things up and probably some magical components to
the I'm sure there's a magical component.
In. Plus, you'll remember her whole body was so relaxed from the liquid so feeling relaxed. Magic. So relaxed.
Okay, what's your say smut moment?
My say smut moment is the epilogue. Pretty much the whole epilogue.
No, the epilogue's ridiculous.
I think that I sensed like a little bit before it was about to happen, what was about to happen. But the whole premise, like, it's not even just that she had a pumpkin jizz put in her tea non-consensually. You should always ask first.
Yeah.
I can't believe I keep having to say this. But like the premise of Susie's over because she wants us to join the family business in one of two ways. One being help her with the selling of Jack's dad's jizz, and the other being selling young Jack's jizz.
Yeah. No, that's not happening.
But yeah,
there's a toxic relationship.
There's also a very fast turnaround from, wait, this tastes good because it tastes like pumpkin spice. The jizz is pumpkin spice. Throwing up. And then Jack just being like, it's mine. And she goes, oh, thank goodness. Like, whoo. Thank goodness.
I'd still be like, oh, no. Like, I mean.
I guess when I throw up, I'm just out of commission for a longer period of time. And so good for Ava.
Yeah. Do you have any other Stay Smut moments?
No, that was it. I mean, it was all. I think if I had cold read the second one and not read the first one first as a primer, I would have been like Stay Smutted all over the place at stuff happening in the book. But because I read them back to back the way that I did, it was not as shocking. Four balls,
old news.
Mm-hmm. Four balls.
Yeah. No.
Seen it a million times.
Yeah. Nothing new here.
Give me eight.
Well, thank you so much for reading a book this time around.
Hey, yeah, technically too, which is pretty fun.
You can find us, dear listener, if you so choose, on TikTok or Instagram at Stay Smut Podcast. We might do some giveaways for the holiday season.
Mm.
So go on there because you'll be able to get your updates on there. Additionally, we'd love to hear your book recommendations. Send those our way via email at staysmutpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And also, pop us, now that we're at the end of the podcast, you can pop us a rating or review. Don't send us mean stuff just to send us mean stuff. Again, we want that enemies to lovers story arc. So if you hate us, give us another chance. Come back. Say hello. If you really hated us, just don't come back. That's okay.
Yeah. If you're mean, I'm going to cry and it's going to ruin my whole week. I'm never going to stop thinking about it.
Yeah. And a week is all of 7 days long. And that's a long time for her to be upset.
It's a lot.
But we hope you stay smutty. And don't take back your ex. Don't do it.
And ask for consent before you snap off someone close. And also ask for consent before you put your pumpkin spice jizz in their tea. Even if you know that they generally like it, you should still always ask
first. Always ask for consent.
Always ask first.
All right. Stay smutty. Bye-bye.